What is going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 46 of the MM Arcade Podcast. Rob, I got to ask you at the start of the episode, is your face okay? What happened? Please tell me.
I'm back to contact training now.
Yeah.
And this is just Velcro burn. But literally, it's like I got Velcro from the start of the face across. Like he cross-faced the hell out of me.
That's crazy, yeah. Dude. I was worried initially. I was like, did you get another scar? Like what's going on there?
No, I'm good. Just, I don't know. Banged up.
Yeah, fair.
But no,
fair.
It's all good. Anyone who's had the Velcro burn, it's like, yeah. Stings, but it doesn't, it's nothing. It's
fair enough.
Nothing. What about yourself? You sound like a little sick.
Look, sick. My throat is just a bit funny at the moment.
Brother needs a lozenge. That's all I'm saying.
Well, to be fair, my wife as well was on night shift, so she's sleeping at the moment. So, and I don't know, we're in this new place. I don't know like whether she can hear me. I've never asked her.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm staying a little bit on the quiet side, but it's going to be hard talking about this card.
We've hit it perfectly. Like, this is why we were supposed to do the reactions video yesterday, but I pushed it to today because all the kids were home yesterday. Their teacher was sick this morning. So the kids are off to training now.
Yep.
And I've got quiet in the house. Everyone can hear the kids when they're around, dude.
Dude, people don't mind, though. Like, I was looking at a couple of our comments on our Spotify, actually. Shout out to people who are listening with the audio version. And people were like, it's not an episode unless you have Rob's kids screaming in the background. It's like ambient music.
Yeah. Maybe people listen to it to go to sleep. Right?
But today we do have a big episode. UFC 304 just took place. We're going to be doing our breakdown, our reactions to that. Not much news since we recorded last. We're kind of getting back on schedule in terms of game news and what we've been watching, playing and reading. So might be a shorter episode. We always say that, but mate, let's see.
Hopefully. I want to say hopefully because like... Every time we say this, it's still an hour
it's
long.
Still an hour long.
And if this is the one, there were like quick fights. The higher up you go on the fight card, there's no game news. Knowing me, I won't shut up though once I start talking about what I've been doing. So
I'm going to guess 45 minutes. Let's see how long it goes for. Right, but are here, if you enjoy the video, please do like, subscribe if you are new. But let's start off with the main event of UFC 304, Leon Edwards against Bilal Muhammad for the welterweight title. Mm-hmm. We have a new welterweight champion. Bilal Muhammad beat Leon Edwards by unanimous decision. Rob, what were your thoughts?
Mate, like, where do I start? So let me preface with this is how I feel. Okay. I'm going off what I watched yesterday. Yeah. So it was just that one viewing. I'm not gonna sit here and break it, rewatch the fight six times to break it down analytically. This is just off the cuff, me watching it with my eyes. Okay.
Sure.
If you want to see those sort of analytics, it's not me. It's not me. Like you'll get fight IQ from myself after watching it a single time. Okay. Now that's what you get. That's what you paid for. Okay. Please sub. but what can I say, man? Because I was surprised. Not surprised. Like, not that Muhammad surprised me. Mm. Yeah. No. You know what? I was surprised. I was surprised because Leon's last two showings against Usman and Colby looked vastly different to the Leon that turned up against Muhammad.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what does that mean? Because I don't want to take away Bilal just turning up and honestly dominating Leon Edwards. Like he belted him in the stand up. He put that constant pressure, was punching him up, which opened up the double leg. He was doing beautifully. He was beautifully entering into those double legs. Once he had Leon's back to the fence, he'd go under, he'd lock those hands up in that C grip straight away and pull him off the fence and turn him on his head, like over and over and over. His single legs over the rounds, like he switched to singles, were amazing as well. Like, and then he was corralling Leon into that fence positioning. He would only shoot a lot of the time when he saw Leon didn't have any steps back.
Yeah.
You know, he was doing it masterfully. And, you know, I've got to say, like, I don't want to take away how good and effective that was against Leon. And why, but I am, I am wondering why Leon had no answer for it, because we saw him go up against the likes of Usman. We saw him go up against the likes of Colby, and both guys couldn't do that. Was it because Bilal is a much bigger welterweight? He looked strong in there, man.
He looked so and buff, dude.
He was just pushing forward, and he was demanding respect from Leon with his strikes, even hurt him. Was it in the first or second round where he hurt him with that uppercut? It might have been the first.
I think it was the first,
I think it was the first, where Leon went for that high guard and Bilal got that uppercut. He hurt Leon with the hands, which is why Leon was backing up and Bilal was able to go underneath, you know? So I don't want to take away because it was such a good showing from Bilal, but it was such a – like, did Bilal shut Leon down that hard that it made Leon look bad, or was it – because Leon was off. He said he felt lethargic, whatever, right? But, I don't know which foot to stand on. Like, I will say, and before everyone starts hammering me in the comments, I wasn't really going for either Leon or Bilal, right?
Yeah.
But I thought Bilal looked sensational. Dude had dog in him. Guy wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted it. He wasn't listening to the booing of the crowd. He wasn't in there. He didn't care if it wasn't pretty. Guy ran it forward, like it executed a game plan against a very good guy. Because in our predictions, I mentioned how dangerous Leon Edwards' spacing is and how good he is at controlling that, which shut down a lot of, like completely shut down Colby last fight and then Usman to a degree the fight before that.
Yeah.
Bilal had no problem with that. Went into the firing range gleefully.
Yeah.
Took shots to land shots and just bullied the hell out of him. And, mate, what do you think?
I had the same internal conflict as you when I did my immediate reactions. You want to give full credit to Bilal, but you also, I think it's okay to at least appreciate to some extent without undermining Bilal's performance, that Leon seemed a bit off, right? And in part, you have to also contribute Bilal's performance towards that because Bilal's constant pressure and his high output meant that Leon couldn't get any kind of offense going, right? He really struggled getting his signature kicks in. His head movement was awful. Like, at times, did you feel the same? Like, Leon was, like, covering his face like this, and just didn't know what to do with Bilal constantly peppering him with jabs. I want to say that he was off a little bit, but also Bilal's performance was just fantastic in that regard. And then you have to talk about the wrestling. 9 out of 13 takedowns, bro. He kept slamming Leon on his ass, especially that one where he spiked him on his head. I'd be very surprised. Leon was concussed after that. Surely he was, right?
I don't know. I've spiked my head in the mat sometimes.
Yeah.
Like in practice, and like it cracks every vertebrae down your back, man.
That was horrible, bro. Yeah. Surely neck issue, surely something wrong with his vertebrae now. Surely he was concussed a little bit. Like when Bilal had his back, there were times where I thought Leon was asleep, especially in that fifth round. His eyes were like closed and he was just trying to get out of the situation. I think it's okay and it's completely fair to say Leon was not at his best, but Bilal was also at his best and he took advantage of it and he did exactly what he needed to do to win the fight. He completely dominated and outclassed Leon Edwards, 100%.
Can I say something?
Hmm.
Right. Now, I think obviously who shows up on the night is a lot, like is weighs very heavily in who wins that night.
Yeah.
Because like not showing up is... it's practically a loss.
It's a death sentence.
Before you even step out there, right? Yeah. But you know what I will say? And this is why I'm so confused because I don't want to lean either which way. So please, everyone in the comments, relax. Like take your hands off the keyboard for half a second.
Put your pitchforks down.
Okay, I'm not going – like I said, I don't know either guy. So I'm not really going – I've mentioned it before in other episodes. I'm very biased. So in this one, I'm truly not going for either one. I'm just in it for the sport, all right?
Yep.
Leon looked – like I thought the level that he was before he beat Usman that second time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Leon I thought I saw. Like the one that fought Nate Diaz.
Right.
You know, good but hittable, especially down the pipe. You know what I mean? But then Leon came out, and they do say winning the belt changes you, makes you better. And Leon came out in that second Usman fight and looked sensational.
Mm.
And then he came out again against Colby, cemented that. And I thought, okay, Leon's evolved. He's taken it to another level. This is champion Leon, okay? Yeah. Then Bilal comes in and we see champion Bilal.
Yeah.
And Leon, champion Leon wasn't there. Okay, this was pre champion Leon. Am I making sense?
No, do you know what Leon we saw? We saw the Leon in that first Usman fight, or technically the second Usman fight, right? The night that he won the championship. He won obviously with the headshot dead in the fifth round, but prior to that, he was losing convincingly. It felt like
taken down.
Absolutely. And I said this in the moment in the fifth round. He's going to obviously have to knock Bilal out, but I just don't see that happening. Though, I didn't see that happening in this Usman fight when he ended up doing that. So there was every chance that could have happened. But whether he didn't show up or he was outclassed, so I think it's all of the above. But I think what I want to emphasize again, you cannot take away from Bilal's performance. It was impressive. He shut the haters up. He proved the doubters wrong. I predicted that Leon would win. You did. A lot of other people did. He was the heavy favorite heading into that fight, Leon Edwards. And Bilal proved everyone wrong. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do. You have to appreciate that hugely.
Yep. And like, oh man, lost my train of thought. I will say, this is just my observations. Maybe we see Leon. Maybe Leon was lethargic. I know better than anybody else. There's a lot of moving parts into a fight.
Sure, sure.
Okay. So maybe he comes back better from this. Like, guy was on the mic already saying that he wants to fight by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. That Bilal we saw on the weekend, that's going to be a nightmare to fight for a lot of people. You know, I think that level of doggedness and determination to kind of drive forward. But I am very curious to see how he goes against like other very high level guys like Shavkat.
That is the fight to make. Like, who would Bilal? Yeah, I don't know about Ian Garry. I don't know, but Shavkat, I reckon Shavkat Bilal is a great fight.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like, JDM.
I would love to see.
It gives him trouble.
So people, like, in my immediate reactions, I would say it's obvious that it should be Bilal against Shavkat Rakhmonov. Like, that's the obvious fight to make. He, in my eyes and a lot of people's eyes, he's the number one contender. Unless you want to put him in another fight, I think you could just put him straight against Bilal and no one's going to question it, right? Some people were like, well, what about JDM? I think Jack is injured until next year. He has a pretty bad injury. And if we're talking like who's going to fight Bilal next, unfortunately, because of that severe injury, he can't be in the conversation, at least right now. So I would say Bilal against Shavkat. And then, you have Ian Garry, maybe against JDM. You still have Usman, maybe Usman. Like, where does MVP figure into this as well? I know that he just lost against Ian Garry, but because of how exciting he is, because he's a showman, he's probably two wins away from being in that conversation seriously. There's a lot of great potential matchups, but for me, it has to be Shavkat against Bilal next.
Yep. I don't know. I guess we got to see how Bilal gets tested against the other welterweights.
And you know what? To Bilal's credit, he was like, I will fight Shavkat. I'll fight anybody.
And you see, that's kind of like the mentality we saw in that fight.
Yeah.
Like nobody believes in me, but I'm going to bash this guy anyway. Like, take it to him. I'm not afraid of his striking. Like we saw that, and huge props and respect to Bilal for that. Like
100%.
He made a fan out of me that fight. I could see his heart on display, and I can respect that completely. I will say that I didn't like is how he ended up getting swept or reversed at the end of every round. Come on, dude. Come on, dude. You can't control the 4 minutes of the round to get swept at the end like that. Not like that, dude.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like when Leon swept him in five, then landed that elbow and there's blood going out. The commentators are talking about it. I was like, no way Leon throws one elbow and they give him the entire round. Like, but that's just how it looks sometimes.
Dude, it's tricky because, again, like when it comes to scoring factors, damage trumps everything. Damage is number one, right? So when you look at around at the fifth, you know, Bilal did have Leon's back and he controlled him for most of the round. But let's be honest, how much damage did he actually put in? Bilal's ground and pound wasn't that damaging. It wasn't that significant. And he never really looked, in my opinion, he never looked close to getting a submission of any kind. He just completely controlled and dominated Leon. So in terms of damage in that fifth round, I understand why you would give the last one to Leon, simply because of how brutal those elbows were, because he did more with the position. You know what I mean?
I feel like that position, that scenario, falls in the gaps a little bit.
Okay, like, that's fair.
Yeah, like where we gotta listen to Bobby and go to 10-minute rounds sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I get it. I get it.
It's... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to score it well. I don't know how you'd score that. Like giving it, getting held down in front of your friends, family for 4.5 minutes,
yeah,
only to land one elbow before closing time, it doesn't sit well with me. I understand. I like the idea of scoring damage as well, but like I said,
I understand why you say that, because you know where my head first went when I was looking at the discussions about the scoring in that round was your fight against Costa. The first round, right? You were winning convincingly in the first round, and then he had the high head kick, and then most people gave it to him.
Yeah.
And I disagree with that. You disagree with that. So it's just, it's one of those weird times where, I don't know, it could go either way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But so congratulations, Bilal Muhammad, man.
Yeah. Like, and in terms of Leon, I would like to see him fight by the end of the year. If JDM is ready, great. Maybe Ian Garry, maybe MVP. You know, I would actually like to see Leon Edwards against MVP. I think that would actually be a very exciting fight.
I don't think that's a great fight for Leon, but...
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. But he's got to fight someone. It's either Ian or it's MVP if JDM can't go.
Has Leon fought... what's his name? The grappler dude. Gilbert Burns? He has an A.
I don't think so.
Because I feel like that would be a bad fight for him as well.
No, I wouldn't put Leon against another wrestler, grappler. You know what I mean? Let's see. I can't remember if he's fought Gilbert. I don't think he has. No, he hasn't.
You know what? Like Leon versus JDM. That's a mad fight. And that gets JDM to a title shot.
If JDM is ready, this is the problem. I haven't seen any news because JDM, I think they wanted him to fight in Perth.
I could see them holding Leon back for Sydney next year.
Maybe.
You know? I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. Because I don't know. But, yeah. Congratulations, Bilal Muhammad, new welterweight champ of the world.
Absolutely. And next up, we've got the interim heavyweight bout, Tom Aspinall against Curtis Blaydes. Not much of a fight to analyze, but, Rob, what are your thoughts?
How do I feel about the way Tom started? Okay. I love the way Tom fights.
Yeah,
like he's speed kills, man, and he is proof of the pudding. Like of that, the way he beat Pavlovich before, but the way he beats everyone, he uses his speed and his accuracy. I feel like he was itching for the knockout a little too much in the first minute of that fight. Curtis Blaydes was landing shots on him. And that I didn't like. For a guy that is so fast and so mobile in a heavyweight, in a division where the guys are generally slower and bigger, like I feel like he started itching at the bit. You know, he wanted that knockout out of the gate, and he did get it.
And he got it.
He did get it. He did get it. But I feel like he took too many shots before that happened.
Look, to Tom's credit, in the post-fight press conference, he literally said it was a messy fight on his behalf. He was looking for the knockout, and he left his chin a bit open. And to be funny, like to be honest, when you listen to what Blaydes said, Blaydes was like, I connected with him, so the game plan went out the window because it was like, oh, I'm connecting with this dude. I'm going to try and actually just stand with him and knock him out. He said something to that effect, right? So it's almost as if Tom being a bit messy and leaving his chin open because he did get hit led to Curtis Blaydes' downfall because he got too confident. Isn't that weird?
Guy got baited using his chin as bait. No, that's such – in a heavyweight division, that is the most dangerous gamble I've had. No way. I do feel like – I don't like – I'm not going to break down his technique or the holes or the reasons why he got hit. Right. I can see mentality-wise, he was itching at the bit to knock Curtis out.
Yeah.
Like he was hammering for it, okay? And that was like – that led Curtis to land shots he didn't need to take.
Yeah.
You know? But in saying that, he did get the knockout shortly after.
Dude, what looked to be a nothing jab. Even Tom said that. It was like, I didn't think I threw it that hard, but clearly he did. Dude's just powerful. Doesn't matter what he throws.
And that wasn't what knocked him out. That's what like put him on his bum.
Yeah,
like,
and then it was the ground.
I've been in that position
before.
Yeah,
of course.
Like it doesn't kill you, but Tom didn't let him recover.
No.
Like, and you know, props to the ref because like Blades, I think immediately after was upset.
Yeah.
But the way Tom was hitting him and the position that he had, he was not getting up.
I agree.
He was not going to get up.
He wasn't defending himself, man. He constantly got hit in the face like seven or eight times by my account.
He was like hips were getting flat over and over and over, which is a sign to me that the guy's like getting hurt, recovering, you know, and you'll be there like. Yeah,
I thought it was a good stoppage too.
From brain damage.
you know what's funny as well? Like, I think it was Curtis and other people said, "Oh, he looked like he was getting up." Yeah, because the ref came to stop Aspinall, and then Aspinall gets up, so Curtis Blaze looks like he's getting up as well. That doesn't mean anything. It matters like how many shots you're taking and whether you're defending yourself. And he wasn't. I thought it was a clear, clean stoppage, and good on him for doing it.
Yep, and that's that. That was the fight.
So, big question. Obviously, Tom calls out John Jones. He wants to fight the winner of Jones and Stipe. Assuming that Stipe is going to lose that, Jones is going to win that. That seems to be the fight that the UFC is going to make next. At this early stage, how do you think Tom would do against Jones?
Mate.
It's hard, though. It's hard because, you know, Tom, as we said, left his chin a little bit open, but Jones is not really a power puncher at heavyweight, right? So I'm not too worried about Aspinall necessarily getting knocked out by Jones, but generally, how do you think the fight would go?
It's so hard to say. Like, it's hard to go against Jones just because of what he did to Gane and just because of who he is.
Yeah.
But I also feel like I haven't seen enough of Jones in the heavyweight decision to truly cement my opinion what heavyweight Jones looks like.
Mm.
We haven't seen him with any – like, that. It's so hard to dissect that fight he had with Gane, and that's the only one. So I think the fight with Stipe will be a good indicator on what happens. But honestly, I don't know. I don't get a vibe – okay, has Jones Stipe been announced? Is that New York?
I think they're targeting November is what I see, but it's not official yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, like you said, it's unofficial.
Yeah.
Right? Like I don't know if we see Jones fight after Stipe, to be honest.
He could retire. I reckon he could retire. Yeah, he doesn't want to risk his legacy against someone like Tom Aspinall, you know?
You know, like and Stipe is regarded as one of the best heavyweights to do it.
Yeah.
In the UFC.
Yeah.
So Jones beating him cements his legacy. Maybe I think that's where we wrap it up. I don't know. We just don't know. Again, he's in that position to kind of play around like that. It's hard. Like,
yeah.
But I also don't think, like, I do feel like you can't strip Jones yet, right? But Tom shouldn't be an interim. Like, I feel like maybe they should swap.
Can I say this? You don't strip Jones. Look, if I was in that position, 8-month injury, potentially very long injury, I probably would have leaned towards stripping him and just making that for the undisputed title because then you have a champion that hasn't fought in a while. Like, when did he fight Gunn? That was ages ago.
Yep.
But now in this position, with the way things have gone and they want to target November, if for whatever reason, injury or otherwise, he can't fight Stipe because he's still injured or whatever, you have to call it at that stage. Yep. Surely you have to call it and be like, he's the undisputed champion.
Two injuries in a row, you're going to get stripped. Like, you have to.
Yeah.
You know what? I think a class, you know, essentially interim belt and a normal championship belt are essentially the same thing.
Mm.
Like, right? But I think there should be two champions. Like, I know it sounds weird.
I'm calling comparisons again to what happened with you, man. when you were interim and got made undisputed, feels like a very, and people have said the same thing, feels like a similar situation.
Yeah. Well, you see, GSP never fought again.
And Jones might not fight again either.
But Jones is kind of still there. Like, he says he wants to. GSP said he was just done. I don't know.
It's weird, but look, I think clearly they're going to try and make that fight, obviously, unless Jones retires after he presumably wins. Blades, I would like to see him fight someone like Tybura, the winner of Tybura and Spivak, because I don't think he's fought either of them. That seems fair. I think Garn is fighting Volkov in Paris, so that's what he's going to be doing. The heavyweight division's in a weird spot, though, because I will say this. If Aspinall, through whatever means, becomes the undisputed champ, how many people has he beaten already? He's almost cleared that out that division already, also, getting to the top.
I also feel like there's a big discrepancy between his level and a lot of the other division.
And
there's always
else.
Been a skill discrepancy in like the top three to the top 10.
Yeah.
But more than ever before, we're seeing that.
For sure. I'd be interested to see what happens with Garn against Volkov. If they do make that fight, I'm not too sure if it's official, because the winner of that probably fights next, probably is the number one contender after they sort out the Jones and Aspinall situation. Because for whatever reason, the UFC loves Garn and keeps putting him into title shots. But that was Aspinall against Curtis Blaydes. Next up, King Green against Paddy Pimblett, lightweight bout. Dude, Paddy looked impressive, man. He looked really, really impressive. What do you think?
Mate, and I'll say it again. Like, I think that falling from grace that he had just, you know, lit a fire up his ass.
Yeah.
And sorry for my language there, dude.
Oh, it's fine.
And he is just like, he's just got so much better for it. I feel like he's more focused. He's more switched on than we've seen before.
Yeah.
And that was the Paddy I wanted to see, because that was the one we saw in Ferguson, like that level of determination, that level of focus, you know, that ability to stay on task. And, mate, that's exactly what happened. Paddy saw an opportunity. Bobby went in for a takedown, saw an opportunity, had the guts and the confidence to go for the submission attempts. Mm. You know, like, that's half the work, is the confidence to go for your submission attempts and to believe in them. And he did that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he stopped a guy that doesn't get stopped often.
I still don't know what Green was thinking going for the takedown. Like, you are trying to take down someone who is clearly a specialist in jiu-jitsu. Not only is he a black belt, but he has submitted people, and his jiu-jitsu game is phenomenal. The way that he was in that guillotine, transitioning to the triangle, chokes Green out, and then goes to the armbar while the bloody dude is asleep and probably causes damage to his arm. He was out cold, dude. That whole transition was absolutely beautiful. Why take that? Like, was it a brain snap? What are you doing trying to do that against Paddy?
Sometimes, like, mate, I don't know. It's like a mixture of like game plan, right? IQ. So you work a specific game plan. Do not do XYZ. Mm. Then you have to have the discipline to follow through with that. But also, you're fighting habit, man. Like, you don't.
Fair.
Yeah, a lot of people won't understand how many times in the training room we go through everything.
Mm.
Because mixed martial arts is such a diverse sport. There is so much we have to learn. Like, we have so many sessions during the week because there's just so much to cover. Even if you're fighting a kickboxer, like, you still have to grapple and wrestle, because what if the guy wants to take down and you're rusty and he gets you on your back and you lose a round and you're in a 3-round fight? You've only got 2 left.
That's fair.
And the guy's a dangerous striker.
Yeah.
You know, he's held you down the entire round. He's both start fresh again.
Mm.
He might inch out, or like, you know what I mean? Like, you've got to cover your bases. So maybe it's just habit, like, caught the kick, habit, like, take him down, run him over. But
yeah,
I don't know. I'm happy for Paddy, though. Like, I'm sad for Bobby.
I'm sad for Bobby.
I don't know. It's like, someone's got to win, someone's got to lose. Like, it's hard. I don't want to see anyone lose, but I want to see everyone win too.
Yeah.
So, but I'm happy for Paddy. I'm very happy for Paddy. Actually, I saw a video of him saying that he likes me. So I'm extra happy for Paddy, dude. that's how you get me on your side, proper. So I do a video saying I'm a sick.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm on your team now.
Hell yes.
Paddy, champ.
And look, he had a pretty good call out at the end of the fight. He called out Renato Moicano, which I think is a great fight for him to have next. In terms of Green, I think maybe he should think about, I know he's not going to, he's going to keep fighting until he's 40, but I reckon it's probably a good time for him to think about at least hanging up the boots, maybe have one fight as a retirement. I don't know, man, because he got knocked out pretty viciously two fights ago.
Yeah.
I know that he did really well against Jim Miller. But Jim Miller's also a bit older too, bro. Like,
but he took shots in that first, right? It's tricky because, you know, Bobby Green can smoke a lot of dudes in like that top 20, that top 15.
Yeah.
Problem is, like, he's going up against like that lower 10 and all the dudes that are just breaking into that period, like that gatekeeping spot. And like some guys are like killers and the young hungry killers, and some guys just aren't meant fit. Like he's like the ultimate gatekeeper right now.
He is. I am just worried about his health though, because like these are pretty vicious losses that he's having. I know that he won against Jim Miller, but the way he got knocked out two fights ago, the way he got put to sleep in this fight, I don't want to see anything happening to this dude.
Dude, guy changed his name to King. What? The damage is done, bro.
did you see what Paddy said about that?
The damage is done. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let him go. Like, where are we going from here, dude? You know what I mean? Fight till he's 50. It doesn't matter.
Dude, Paddy was like laughing at his decision to change his name and chalked it up to CTE. I'm like, dude, that's so brutal, bro.
I can see that though, dude. I don't know. I think King's a cool name, but
it's a sick name. But look, I'm just worried about Tekken him. Character. That's all I'm saying.
Tekken character King,
100%. And he's got the look for it as well. He could easily slot into a Tekken character. He'd be the next DLC character.
Yeah.
Next up, though, we've got Christian Duncan.
I'm a little upset, though, because his name's Robert, right? Is that why he called himself Bobby, or is it just Bobby?
That's a really good question. What's his?
I heard Paddy say his name's Robert. My name's Robert.
But it wasn't. You know? Is it actually like Lee? No, I don't know, man. I have a feeling it was just Bobby. Lee.
Maybe it's just Bobby.
Maybe it was Robert. He changes his name to Bobby and then to King.
Yeah, dude, you may as well fight till you're 70.
I think his name was actually Bobby and not Robert.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then I'd change him. I'm joking. Fair enough. I thought he was leaving the cool kids club, but
yeah. Let's talk about Christian Duncan against Gregory Rodriguez, RoboCop, winning by unanimous decision. This one was pretty clear. He was too big, too strong, smacked it. I don't know if you saw photos of Duncan afterwards. He had this huge hematoma on his head after getting smacked around by RoboCop. It was brutal, man. Pretty one-sided decision. I don't know if you have any thoughts about it.
I do not. No. I missed it. I was rushing back.
That's fair.
From my kids. They had a birthday party.
Yeah.
And I was rushing back to make the fight, but I missed that one.
That's all right.
Let alone it's a middleweight fight. I'm divided with watching those.
Fair. But I know you watched this one, Arnold Allen. Giga Chikadze.
I watched it 5 minutes before we started the podcast.
It was a good fight. I was like, Rob, you got to watch this fight.
It was good. And Arnold Allen is a dog, man. Is it? Like,
Pitbull.
I was talking up Giga because like. Like I said, I'm biased, dude. You're friendly to me. That's all it takes to win me over. So, like, Giga looked good, man. Those head kicks were sensational. He was keeping them in play the entire fight. But, mate, he just got no respect from Arnold Allen. Mm-hmm. Like, nada. No ounce of respect from Arnold Allen. I was like, give me everything you've got. Can I have some more? And just walked him down like a dog the whole time.
Mm-hmm. I thought that Giga obviously did very well in the first. He won that round. The way that he was moving away from Allen and still being able to get offense while moving backwards and using his kicks, as you said, which are phenomenal, he did really well. But I don't want to chalk this up to his cardio. We know that Giga's cardio hasn't exactly been the best. I thought cardio-wise, he actually looked pretty good in this fight. But it's just because, as you said, Allen is a dog. He will keep walking you down, and it doesn't matter what you throw. And Giga was throwing shots, especially, was it the knee that grazed him and some of the high kicks that he was throwing? Anyone else probably in that position would have gotten knocked out or gotten caught, but Allen just had no respect. He just kept moving forward, and especially in the back end of the second round, especially in the third round, he found his momentum, really strong jabs, really strong hooks, and the shots that he was getting in were clearly much more damaging than the ones Giga was throwing back. He was so good. I am so bloody happy for Allen because I thought that not only did he need a win, I thought he was due a win after having some pretty hard fights in the last couple of fights.
Yeah, and he was thrown to the wolves in a way. Given that Max fight was gnarly.
Yeah,
gnarly.
It was.
And it was props to Max too to keep him on his toes, to keep moving back. Because we saw with Giga, staying on your bike for 15 minutes is tiring.
Yeah.
And he was landing effective shots. Because every time you block a head kick with your forearm, it takes pep out of your arms and it hurts. And Allen was just like, nah, whatever. Just he's walking care. Down, like fast walking him down, not like slow, like chasing him almost. And like you said, Giga's cardio, I thought, was in good condition.
Yeah.
And but it just takes it out of you being constantly on edge when the guy won't go away. Nothing you're doing is working.
Yeah.
And then Allen started landing some more effective shots. Once those shots started going through and Giga was tired, he started it was kind of like a snowball effect.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how where Allen goes from here, because I do think it was premature given to Max. Not, I'm a fighter. He's a fighter. I understand. We fight anybody.
Yeah.
And there is no point during my career I've thought I can't beat you, anybody.
Mm.
And he's the same. You saw the way he fights. He's the exact same. I know this.
Yeah.
He fought Max. I think though, if the matchmakers were trying to cater, nurture him a little bit more, if he had a little bit more fight experience, that fight may have looked different. May not have, but it may have looked different because that was a good fight to watch.
Yeah. I think everyone's pretty much unanimous on who Allen should fight next. Yair Rodriguez. I think that would be a really good step up, but nothing too crazy, right? Not putting him up against someone like Max Holloway. I agree. If you can nurture him a little bit over these next two fights, I think he can become, I don't know if he's ever going to become champion, but he can become a solid contender in that top five. I think him versus Yair would be a great fight. In terms of Giga, I was having a think. I don't know. Maybe Bryce Mitchell, maybe having that fight against Josh Emmett, which I believe he was meant to fight him and it was canceled. But I still think Giga looked good. But Arnold Allen, man, he's a dog, bro. And I'm so happy for him.
I would love to see Allen versus Yair.
It'll be a great fight.
We'll have to see the dog come out of him in that one.
Yeah.
And we've seen, though, if you kind of put that on Yair and don't go anywhere, Yair gets hurt.
Mm.
He kind of crumbles a little bit to a degree.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I'm excited.
And finally, this fight, dude. I don't know if you ended up watching it. Muhammad Makhachev, Manel Kat. I just want to rant a little bit because we talked about this. How much hype went into this Makhachev and Kat fight? They hated each other. There were incidents in the hotel where they were fighting each other before. They had to have security in the ring before they actually started scrapping because they looked like they were going to fight. What happened at the press conference or the weigh-ins? So much crap. And then they actually have the opportunity not only to fight each other legally, but to be paid doing so. Yeah. And they barely threw anything. That first round, neither of them were really throwing. Even for the whole fight, there wasn't that much offense. Kat wasn't really throwing. Makhachev didn't really use much of his wrestling. And I thought that he would try and shoot more, but he didn't really shoot more. So I'm like, all right, if you're not going to use your wrestling, you're not going to take down him. Throw your hands a little bit more. Get some more offense in there. It was such a disappointing, such a boring fight, especially given the build-up and the context. What the hell, bro? I'm so upset by this fight. I was so excited for it too, and it was just a letdown. Crap.
Yeah. The only thing I can comment on is, I don't understand why the fighters fight in the hotel. Because I've seen the security around, and they're doing their job. Because I understand you can get heated with the words sometimes, but man, like you were literally going to be paid to punch on.
I know.
In like 3 days.
And like, you know what's funny,
it,
man?
Hold it in.
Did you hear what happened about to Makhachev afterwards? Dana has cut him. He's no longer in the UFC.
Really?
So Dana was asked about this at the post-fight press conference. This was Makhachev's last fight. And remember, this dude's undefeated. He was a prospect in that division. That was his last fight. Dana cut him, especially because of all the stuff that happened behind the scenes and apparently more stuff that we haven't even heard about. And he used the line, the PFL is going to get a great undefeated fighter. It was brutal, bro. But he is gone, no longer in the UFC.
Wow.
So we don't even talk about who's he going to fight next. He's not even a UFC fighter anymore.
No, like, yeah. And that's the thing. Like, UFC know who they are. Like, everyone knows what the UFC done. They're the giants.
It felt like Makhachev, his back, like his behavior behind the scenes was just not right. But also as well, like we've seen UFC fighters do that before and still keep their job. But when you combine that with the fact that a lot of people and then the matchmakers seemingly thought he was a boring fighter and kept taking people down, that's a recipe for disaster. And now he wasn't re-signed. He's gone.
I think some of the fighters in the UFC forget it's a job.
Yeah.
You're doing a job there. Mm. Like you're hired, right? And yeah, at no point are you ever above the rules.
Fair enough. Well, I don't know. Maybe he'll do well in the PFL. He's only young. I think he's 23. Maybe he'll get re-signed. He'll come back.
That's savage, dude.
the way that it happened, well, the way Dana said it was savage. It was brutal.
Oh, it feels bad, dude.
But that was UFC 304. Those were our reactions. Let us know what you think in the comments below. But as Rob said, as we said, there's not much else happening in the gaming world and elsewhere because we almost, you know, 3 days ago, 4 days ago, recorded our last episode. But let's talk about some game news. Fallout 1.
How are we 41 minutes in, dude?
Because we kept yapping. I keep telling you this.
Dude, this is supposed to be the one.
Nah, never. Our episodes are just an hour. That's it.
I don't know how that happens though, because even with big cards, they're an hour. With zero, like with low cards, it's an hour. With no fights, it's an hour. I don't get it. I don't know where the filler comes in.
Well, look, I know that you probably haven't played Fallout London, so this can be a quick discussion. But have you heard about Fallout London, the big new Fallout 4 mod? That's
I have
come out?
Heard about it. I've seen the some screenshots and stuff, and that was a big undertaking, big task.
Dude, 5 years in the making. It's literally like they called it a DLC sized mod. It's probably bigger than that. It's literally like a new Fallout game based in London.
Is it based? Which Fallout is it based off?
Fallout 4.
Okay, cool. So there's going to be like settlements and things?
Dude, they've gone all out. They have a new style of Pip-Boy. You start from the beginning with like you level up your character, new unique perks, there's quest lines, there's new textures, new items, a new world, boroughs of London that you can explore. It is legit.
Here's the big question.
Here we go.
The big question everyone wants to know.
Yeah.
All right.
Tell me.
Is it on the Bethesda shop?
What, is that a bad thing if it's not?
No, it's better. It shouldn't be there.
Okay, all right, fair.
I thought like if Bethesda's just getting on board, bring it in, make people pay for it, I would have been filthy.
No, dude, there's a whole background behind it. It is being distributed on GOG. Do you own Fallout 4 on GOG?
No.
So you don't have to have it there. It's the easiest way to do it. If you have GOG because it's not the next gen version of Fallout 4, you have the game there, you download the mods pretty easy. If you have it on Steam, you have to downgrade it.
How do the legalities go with like Fallout London?
Oh,
like,
dude.
With mods. How does that all work?
So from Bethesda's perspective, like it's clear that they turn like away from it. They're like, we're just going to not get involved directly. You kind of do your thing. And that's how they treat most mods, if you really think about it, right? But there are legalities that I think the London team probably hasn't wanted to grapple with. Like, for instance, I was playing it earlier today. They're using music that was licensed in the base game, which technically they're not allowed to do because that music was licensed specifically for Fallout 4 and the way BGS was using it for that game. But unless they acquired similar licenses for all those 90s, 40s, and 50s music, technically they weren't allowed to touch it. That's one example. But
I hope you see a happy ending to this story, dude. It's like, I love mod creators.
Yeah.
I think they're doing a great service to the community.
Dude, I'm really happy for them. They've had issues, like there's been crashes and stuff like that, but to their credit, they're a mod team doing this pretty much in their spare time. They're not an actual development studio. It's taken them 5 years. They've had to deal with so much with like the next gen version of Fallout 4, breaking things, and they have to ask people to downgrade. They've dealt with so much.
To their credit, it's a Fallout game. Man.
Which crashes?
It had bugs and crashes by itself.
Yeah, you don't know like whether the crashes are due to Fallout 4 or to the mod itself. Man.
Yeah, props.
Dude, I'm liking it so far. I still need to play more of it to do like a proper review, but anybody that has Fallout 4, please check out Fallout London. They really do deserve the support. And it's a whole new experience, and it's only going to get better with updates once they fix some of the
crap. Does it have survival mode?
It's literally Fallout 4. Anything that you can do in Fallout 4, you can do in Fallout London for the most part. And you're pretty much, I think you can only really play by starting a new character so you can experience the leveling up and the scaling and the
I've been thinking about doing another Fallout playthrough, but I don't know.
I would give it a go if you were interested, because it's not as daunting as a full playthrough Fallout 4.
I wouldn't play that mod. I'd play like the base game, but with the settlements mod. I forget what it's called, but it's like where it completely redoes settlements and settlements like can do new things and yada, yada, yada.
I know the one you're talking about. But yeah, if you are a Fallout 4 fan, check it out. I think they've done a fantastic job given the circumstances. But next section, as we mentioned, probably not much to update on, but what we're watching, playing and reading. Rob, have you been doing much more else?
I've been doing heaps else.
Oh, yeah?
Heaps else.
Tell me.
Heaps. So much so that I got to bring it up.
This is why this episode's going to go for an hour. Because we keep yapping.
Okay. So I've just been watching same anime. I've been watching the simulcast seasons. Like,
yep.
Same ones. There's a lot. You know what I've noticed? A lot of romance this season. Don't mind romance. Yep. I like romance anime.
Yeah.
Actually, there was a good one I wanted to recommend, but I'd have to scroll too far. Something about a rabbit.
I'll search it while you're talking.
Yeah. Playing. What have I been playing? You know what I've been playing lately? Fortnite.
No, really?
Yeah, dude. I've been shitting on people.
Fair enough, bro. Why Fortnite, though?
Because my sons play it. And they're like, Dad, can you play with me? I'm like, all right, let's play it. Let's turn it on. And I kid you not, the other day, it was like a special moment for me. I had Jack, John, and Liliana in my squad. I had a full squad of Whittakers, dude.
We
went out there because it was just so much fun. Like, my son, Jack's actually better than I am.
Yeah.
Right? But there's like a mode called zero build reload. And it's like all the old fight places. So Tilted Towers is there.
Oh, hell yeah.
They've got like normal guns. Yeah. There's no building. Dude, it is so good. Like, you drop in a Tilted, the games are so short. Either you're readying up in about 30 seconds or you're making it top three. Like, it is so good, dude. I've been playing with my friends lately and I've got dusted off the old boots, messaging the old crew that I used to play with. It's so cool, dude. So we've been playing that.
Oh, yeah.
And playing with the kids as well. Like, some nights me and them jump on and they love it. Like, they just boss me around. It is chaos playing with my kids. It is chaos, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun, dude. So I've been doing that. I tried getting back into Dragon's Dogma.
Yep.
And that was tricky because I don't know, dude. Just not feeling it, I guess. I need single player games. So I've been playing Fortnite, but single player games haven't really been doing anything. You know what I am interested in jumping back into? Power World.
Okay.
Apparently there's like been a lot of drops since I last played it. But they haven't put out, like, there's PvP now in Power World. So I'm keen to do that. But what they haven't done is allow character migration between servers. So like there's no point in me versus my friend if he can't come from his world with his Pokemon.
Fair enough.
Pokemon. Palmon.
Palmon. What is the name? Is it Palmon?
I don't know. I don't use them. I use guns. So I like Palmon more than Pokemon is because.
Fair enough.
I use one to ride on and I just shoot things. That's the best. but yeah, that's. So I'm waiting for that.
Yep.
But I think that's it. I was thinking about, like, again, tossing and turning, jumping back into Cyberpunk.
Yep.
You know, lots of games have been updated. I don't know. Another RimWorld playthrough. I don't know. That new Norland came out. I don't know if you saw that. That's a cool game.
Yeah.
But
you're chopping and changing between a lot of stuff.
Yeah, because I'm just not vibing anything. That's why I've been playing so much Fortnite. It's because, like, it's fun. You got your mates there. You can either just zone out. Don't have to really commit to anything.
That's fair. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yourself?
So after finishing Final Fantasy 16, I am going back to Spider-Man 2 to play that. It just makes me feel at peace playing that game. It's like a nice popcorn flick style of game. It's weirdly relaxing. You're just having fun playing as Spider-Man or Miles Morales. They have cool powers. There's a story there. It's not the biggest game in the world. There are side quests, though, that you can do. I love it. I don't know what it is. It's like going to watch a Marvel movie back in the heyday of Marvel. It's just enjoyable. I love that game. I don't know what it is, dude. Mm. So I'm going to hopefully finish it sometime soon, and then I think I'm going to be playing Dragon Age next. Probably Inquisition on the PS5. So
yeah, that's mad.
Yeah, that's what I
thought about Dragon Age Inquisition the other day, but I can't do it. I played it too much, I think.
So I want to play it because I really want to play Valguard and at least be somewhat prepared. I know that I haven't played the originals, but I think I'm only going to have time to play that one game before Valguard, you know?
Oh, no. It is really, like, it's hard for me to recommend Inquisition without playing the other two.
I know. Because, like, I know.
The story, the way they have integrated the story across the three games is quite, like, great. It is great. Because the decisions you make in the first game rear their heads in the third game. It's wild. It's really good. And you know what? Inquisition's good, but Origins, it was probably better.
Yeah.
Origins is a great game. Because Inquisition, do you remember when everyone was kind of getting into that MMO sort of phase? So every adventure game had like fetch quests, and like they had like a lot of crappy quests there. Like Inquisition's filled with them, and that's kind of what burnt me out. That's why I didn't finish it. But
that's fair.
Origins is a better drop. Like, it's a better game than Inquisition.
I really want to play
Origins.
It.
Origins really good.
Someone said in the comments that they were able to play it on PC Steam and it worked fine. I watched this one review from this guy that had a lot of issues with it, and it sucks that you can't play it. Like, I would love to play it on my TV, on my PlayStation 5, but it's just not available there. The only Dragon Age game that you can buy is, I pretty much think it's Inquisition, just because they haven't ported it or whatever. So if I can figure it out on my PC, maybe I'll do a playthrough, but I just don't know if I'm willing to put up with technical issues and bugs from an older game. I really think that would, like, you have this nostalgic view of Origins because you probably played it when it ran well. But if I'm playing this game and it looks a little bit dated, older, issues on PC, I'm worried that might mar my opinion of Dragon Age as a whole. Mm. And I don't know if I want to do that. I don't think that's fair to the franchise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
You got to play Origins, but, like, you have to. I'd rather you play Origins and risk the biscuit than play Inquisition. Origins is so good.
I have it. I have it in my Steam library. I should just play it. Is it just a long game, by the way?
Just run it. It can be as long as you want it to be, mate.
Far out. Here's the thing, though. If I do play Origins on my PC, I've got to stick with PC because you said, like, the save files affect your story and stuff, right?
Yeah, but what you can do is, like, if you don't have it progressionally set or whatever, you can just pick your decisions before starting the next game.
Oh, that's so clever. That's so clever. Yep. So you need to play the previous to understand the weight of what you're deciding.
Yep. Or you can just say, surprise me or whatever. I don't know.
Okay. All right. All right. You're right. I think I got to play Origins. I'll figure it out.
Yep.
But that was what we're watching, playing, and reading. And last section, as always, viewer questions. If you have any viewer questions, let us know in the comments below. But let's start off with @someguy701. Question for Rob. Who's the hardest hitter you faced, and who's the most technical guy you faced?
Mm. Obviously, anyone that's knocked me out was pretty hard.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, barring that, the guys like that, I felt had, like, real weight to their punches.
Mm.
Probably Gastelum, eh?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, probably.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Maybe Drickus, though, because I don't really remember that fight too much.
Yeah, fair.
Kind of got belted.
Yeah. Look, we're going to be doing our predictions, obviously, in the coming weeks, which, by the way, I was going to talk about this at the start of a future episode, but I will be there in person to do media stuff. I did get credentials. Maybe, Rob, we can do our predictions in person. I've got all the equipment.
We should do that because I will be there also.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So, but if early prediction, Drickus versus Izzy?
You know,
one liner.
I'm gonna go Drickus. Done.
All right. And we'll do our breakdown like in much more detail in the coming weeks. But next up is from @FaserLex6963. Do you do watch parties for the events? If not, I think you should. I'd love to watch your takes live. This was about whether we would live stream a UFC 304 and do like a fight companion or whatever. I know that like it's hard for you, Rob, because they usually take place on a Sunday, which is like your family day, right? Mm-hmm. So do you think in the future we'd ever do one?
Oh, if enough people got behind it, if enough people got behind it and they wanted to see like a stream of it, I'll make the commitment to one.
Let us know in the comments if you would like to see a live fight companion. It has to be a fight companion
where like I'm really interested in the fight.
Okay.
Like,
all right. Jones Stipe.
Maybe.
Next up, we've got @KyleChapman6115. I laughed very hard about all these comments. They asked, Rob, what installed your Starlink on your roof? A Sparky? No one understands Australian lingo, bro. No one knows what a Sparky is.
No one knew that? Like, no. What do you mean?
Like a lot of people were like, what the hell's a Sparky? Do you want to explain what a Sparky is?
Nah, dude. I'm going to leave it mysterious. Yeah. I got a Sparky that I know come in. And he popped it up, went beep, 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 and it was all good. So, like, honestly, can't recommend Starlink enough.
Yeah.
It came in my post. My internet was giving me grief. I was like, screw it, yank the cable out, set it up in about 20 minutes, just had it sit on my lawn.
Yeah.
And it was firing, like five times better than what I had.
Yeah.
And then eventually I ended up just bolting it to the roof. And it's so good. Like,
we saw
the upload speed the other day when normally I have to leave my computer on. Overnight.
Yeah.
Like our cameras are on, we just mute them and close them and we disappear for overnight so that the upload goes through the Johnny. Mate, it was done by the time we had pressed stop on the recording. It was wild.
It makes my life easier because I don't have to go to bed late or anything. It's just there and I can immediately edit the podcast. It's awesome.
Yep.
But think about what Sparky might mean. He was talking about Starlink. And like, electricity.
They'll work it out. A Spark is an electrician.
Yeah. And if you can answer that, think about what a chippy might be. Next up is from @Dunham.
Or a roofie.
It's not a thing.
or a plummy. Yeah, dude. We're going to spread those.
Roofie. That just sounds wrong. Next up, we've got @Dunham. Question for both. What is your favorite place or country you have visited and what place or country would you like to visit? Rob?
Me? Japan. It's my favorite, probably second favorite place.
Hell yeah.
And like to visit? Like, I'd like to do... It's hard to limit it to one. I haven't done Europe yet. Like, all of Europe. I want to do all of Europe.
So. Yeah. I want to go to Japan. I still haven't been to Japan, frustratingly, and it was meant to be a trip that we did recently. We couldn't do it. So Japan is top of my list, will be the next place my wife and I go. In terms of favorite country that I visited, probably Spain. I really liked Spain. We went there for our honeymoon, and Barcelona's beautiful. We did a whole tour of the entirety of Spain. It was great. The birthplace where my dad was born. And I tell you this story, it was crazy. We were in, so this town's called Cordoba in Spain. My dad was born there. I wanted to go there so bad. And I was like, all right, standing in front of this random bridge. And my wife took this photo of me and I sent it to my dad. I'm not even joking you, bro. He was like, did you know that your great granddad was the drawbridge operator of that bridge?
Oh, wow.
It was the coolest moment. I will never forget that moment for as long as I live. It was sick.
Legacy.
So definitely Spain for sure.
The bridge keepers.
It was sick, dude. It was just, random photo.
Full circle, bro.
And last question, we have @GottaBeAnthony. Rob and Johnny, if you had to choose an anime theme as your walkout song, which would you choose?
Oh, man, I got this. Go on. You go first. Let me bring it up.
So I don't want to, like, it was funny. I picked this for a reason because I would struggle to pick an anime theme song, but what I would not struggle with is a video game theme song. And I mention it because Curtis Blade's walkout at 304, did you see what his walkout theme song was?
No.
It was the Mortal Kombat theme song. It was fantastic. Yeah, at 304. I thought like that would be the song that I would pick if I was walking out for a fight, for
I've
sure.
I've got like heaps of playlists of anime songs. I listen to them all the time. I listen to them before fights a lot of the time.
And, yeah.
Because there's a lot of banging tracks.
Attack on Titan?
You know, that's not like... That G's you up if you, because it makes you remember the opening cinematic of Attack on Titan. That's why it's so cool.
And
see all the dudes holding the chest, yada, yada, yada. But in terms of like really good songs, my favorite would have to be, where is it? Here, it's Yorinuki Gintama opening one.
Okay. I'll have to listen to it afterwards.
That's my favorite, probably my favorite one. Like, there's a lot of good ones. Like, there's a lot of bangers. Like even especially the Black Clover openings, dude. They were banging.
So good.
Like so I was good. Hooked on two of them for a long time.
Yeah.
And there's some really good Naruto ones.
Yeah.
Some really good. Bleach had some great ones, dude.
Yeah.
Bleach back in the day.
Did you watch Mashle season 2? They had a theme Mashle song.
That's that guy that has no magic but super strong.
Correct. And yeah, they created the song for season 2.
They lost me episode 1, dude.
Fair enough.
I thought it was so average.
I think it gets better, but that theme song is a genuine banger. I was just listening to it in my regular playlist. I freaking love it. Yeah. Not necessarily a walkout song, but I just love it so much.
Yeah.
But that was it. That is episode 46 of the MM Arcade Podcast. Over an hour long, Rob. Can't stop
it. Damn.
Let us know what you think in the comments below. And Rob, as always, do you have any closing thoughts?
Thank you very much, everybody, for subscribing, listening, staying tuned. I know we've had some rough patches in the last month or so, but look at us go. 2 in a row. We're back.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we'll see you in the next episode. Take care.